"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobalt podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
John Cobalt Show. There you go.
Don't blame it on me, but every time you do that, you got to donate $100 to charity.
No, I say donate to Deborah Mark charity.
The handbag charity. Yes.
Yes, the handbag charity. There you go.
Charity. Like you'll have one of those Birkin bags in a week.
Here I'm suggesting help others in need, and you're talking about your greed. Great, Deborah. Great.
It's all about me.
Are we live on something right now? No, you're just
snapping
cheesecake photos to Steve. Okay.
This whole show is just devolved.
I know. And that was the fastest devolve. Anyway, we're on from 1 till 4. And then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand on the iHeart app. Steve Gregory is here. Today was a big day. This doesn't happen all the time. One of the FBI's most wanted was caught. And he's on the board of directors for MS-13, which is one of the most vicious gangs that exists in North America. And I didn't know they had a board of directors.
Yeah.
I guess the board, they're the ones that approve who's going to get murdered, who gets rubbed out.
And it's funny you say it, a board of directors, but anytime you've got a worldwide organization like this, you have to have some sort of hierarchy. And let's go back historically. MS-13, also known as La Mara Salvatrucha, was born in Jalisco, El Salvador, and that was back in the 80s. And then it took foothold in Los Angeles in the 80s and early 90s, more in the areas like Westlake, Pico Union, Koreatown, Hollywood. It started to grow and just gain popularity. It was very clear that they needed some sort of an organizational structure, like every cartel does. Every cartel has a hierarchy.
That's a big business.
It's a huge business, and it's a very sophisticatedly run business. I mean, we always hear about the sort of the thuggery in it, you know, the contract killings, or when the shot callers in the Mexican mafia in prison are, you know, deciding who gets to live and who gets to die. But there is a board of directors, as you mentioned. It used to be called, it's currently called the Ronfla Nacional, but it used to be called the 12 Apostles of the Devil.
Oh, that's charming.
Yeah. And I thought for a second, wait, are we talking about our company?
I'm sure they're wonderful citizens. 12 Apostles of the Devil.
And we're talking about now 48-year-old Freddie Ivan Andres Parada, also known by his moniker, Lucky de Parkview.
What is it? Lucky de Parkview sounds like a clunky nickname.
Parkview is an area in the... that he was from, kind of, I think it's a street.
Lucky of Parkview,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, Lucky of Parkview, an area of L.A. But he surrendered, and this is something I didn't find out till last night. he surrendered himself at the border at San Ysidro Port of Entry on March 7th. Now, the initial tip I'd gotten is he had just been arrested, but there were no details. He had been indicted in New York for a series of murders and offering material aid to terrorist organizations in Central America and the United States. So see, that's the other thing too, is when MS-13 aligns itself with Middle Eastern countries.
Yeah.
Because they're also looking for revenue, streams of revenue, you know, and if they start aligning themselves with terrorist groups.
So they'll contract themselves out to terrorist groups
to transport arms and people.
Right.
Because they have one hell of a transport corridor in motion.
Now, you wouldn't know this, but why would a guy like him approach a normal checkpoint?
And surrender?
A port of entry, yeah, and surrender.
So,
I mean, I guess, was he...
I was talking to a federal law enforcement source about this, and it could be a couple things. And, you know, I'm still looking into it because I think it's fascinating. And you said yourself, this is very unusual.
Yeah.
Very unusual. What they're thinking is it's going to take heat off of the MS-13 group. He's basically going to take the fall. And what that does, because he's going to still remain very powerful in prison. He'll be well protected in prison, not presumably by the guards, but by his own people.
Willing to go to prison, probably for life, for the good of the organization.
Yeah. That's the depth of the loyalty in this group.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So it's not that he's being forced to do it?
Well, we don't know. We don't know the behind the scenes, but the fact that he surrendered is one of two things. Either he's going to make a deal and roll over, which is highly unlikely with someone that high in the organization, or he's doing it to take the heat off of the organization.
Wow. Sacrificing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes the heat off?
A lot of times it does, because the FBI... and Homeland Security, because it's both Homeland Security Investigations, HSI, and FBI involved in this. But a lot of times when they do that, they feel like they can get a lot of intel from this guy. So they feel like they're going to be able to work with him. They're going to get a lot of information. So it's like they're taking the eye off the ball, as it were. That's their thinking. Is they're going to take the eye off the bigger ball and focus on this one guy.
They put more energy into trying to extract
information out of this guy.
Rather than...
then take off and go down, you know, and keep... hammering away at the MS-13 folks. I don't know that that's going to happen or has happened, but it's not unprecedented. Those are the two theories that have been plausible in the past that have been floated to me about this particular individual.
So he is accused of greenlighting murders of police officers, witnesses, violators of MS-13 rules. He's been on the run for 4 years.
Yeah.
And he was on the FBI's most wanted list.
Yeah, which was interesting to me is that he was on the most wanted list, but his reward for capture was only $10,000. It's usually up in the millions. What? But I think
does that happen when you don't crack the top 10? It's like a lower round draft choice?
Well, and I think a lot of it too is that there's probably so many of these individuals that are on that list.
Right.
Just, you know.
I'm going to go take on an MS-13 board of director for 10 grand.
But I mean,
that's not.
I think the top guy, if not at least the top three of the most wanted list, is El Mencho. And he's with CJNG. That's the number one cartel, most active cartel in the world right now. That's the...
Ciudad Juarez?
No, it's the... out of Guadalajara, it's the... I think the New Generation Cartel.
Uh-huh.
That's what that translates to. It's the Spanish acronym for the New Generation Cartel. And they are El Mencho... because that's the DEA's got him on the list. He remains the top target for the feds in terms of cartel criminal organizations. And he's got ties to LA. He's got ties to the Valley.
So he's going to be shipped to New York. That's where they're going to process.
Yeah, apparently he's already waived his extradition, and he's probably already there now as we speak.
Oh, it's nice of him to be so cooperative.
Yeah, like I said, with all of this, it leads me to believe, based on what I'm being told, is that he's making some sort of a deal, or will make some sort of a deal, or he'll plead for some sort of a deal.
Well, when are you going to the border?
We're working on it now. We have a lot coming up, but the plan is to go down there for a few days, and it's time to revisit. Because, as longtime listeners of your show know, that when I first got here, that was one of my primary assignments with your show.
Yeah, we tried to get you permanently stationed there.
The Tijuana Bureau of KFI.
That's the Tijuana Bureau.
So we are working out the logistics and the plan. And Jacob and I are going to head down there, since Jacob is bilingual and fluent in Spanish, so it's going to be a big help. So
well,
we're going to head down
look
there.
Forward to that.
Yeah.
Hope it's soon. All right. Yeah. Steve Gregory, KFI News, on the surrender of one of the FBI's most wanted here in Southern California, Freddie Ivan Jandres Parada. And he is one of the board of directors. He's on the board of directors of MS-13, Maris Salvatrucha. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
There is a... Is this guy still on loose? This convicted killer?
Yeah.
He's still wandering around?
Mm-hmm.
He... I heard before he... Somebody said he escaped from a halfway house. And I'm thinking, well, is that exactly an escape? But he walked, let's say he walked away from a halfway house in Santa Ana. And this is a really strange story because he was convicted of murder. He killed his mother
when he was 13.
Yeah. His name is Ike Souzer. He's still only 20. It shows you what our justice system is like. Guy kills his mother and he has the chance to walk away from a halfway house at age 20. His last criminal case, and the reason he was in the halfway house was he pleaded guilty to felony vandalism for painting graffiti under a freeway overpass. But he only got 90 days in jail and probation, and then they let him out. He was credited with time served. That was on March, it was March 20th. Well, it was only 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And he's already, he's on the loose. Now, listen to this murder case. He fatally stabbed his mother in Garden Grove at the age of 13. He stabbed his mother in their house, and she told police before she died in the hospital that her son was the one who attacked her. He told investigators that he had been subjected to verbal and physical abuse from his mom, and he was using a knife in self-defense. Well, he showed her, huh? Don't get your kids upset.
Be nice to your children and your mother.
They had a fight over household chores. I guess he didn't want to do the dishes. And there was a trial, and he testified that he didn't think he had mortally wounded his mom. She was terrified of knives. I guess he was just going to scare her. And said he loved his mother and just wanted her to stop hurting him and for their relationship to be good. So is that why they gave him a cheap sentence? You know, he had escaped from a juvenile detention center in 2019. He also left a halfway house early in 2022. He also attacked three correctional officers in 2021. I don't understand why he hasn't been given a long sentence somewhere. And wait, there was one more thing he did. Nah, I can't find it. But he's been nothing but bad news the whole time. Did I mention he attacked three concrete? Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Well. So now he's on the loose in Santa Ana. What does it take to put this guy away?
Oh, he manufactured a shank in jail.
Oh, right.
That's what he did.
That's what he did. So we're talking about a half a dozen crimes he committed. Just the three escapes. Three correctional officers attacked, the shank, the murder of his mom, that's eight. He's only 20. And if you see his photo, he is mean looking. He looks like a psycho. He is a psycho. I don't get that. Somebody get Todd Spitzer on the phone. What's going on here? You got to be able to find a way to put him away. So, I don't know. Go look up his picture, and if you see this guy, speed
run.
Up. And yeah, run. Get away. Let's see what else is going on here today. I mean, the world, you know, the news is overwhelmed with Kate Middleton's cancer diagnosis. And I'm not qualified to talk about the royal family.
I just
want to make that clear up front. Because it seems to be an intense interest of some people.
Cancer
is a terrible thing for an ad.
She had surgery. But. She had abdominal surgery in January. She hasn't been seen or heard from much. And there's been so much speculation. And then a couple of days ago, maybe it was even yesterday, it turned out that her medical records had been leaked And then today she makes the announcement that she has been diagnosed with cancer.
No, and that's terrible, but it's just, I can't fake interest. I'm not good at that. There are certain stories I just shouldn't be on the air for. Mm-hmm. Royal family stories are one of them.
So it didn't upset you when Princess Diana died?
If I gave you a list of stories I've been most flabbergasted by in my life, that would be number one. Is I totally did not comprehend the worldwide meltdown over Princess Di. I just never thought about her. I wasn't invested in her.
No, I understand.
And it was pretty shocking. And it came a point where I couldn't take hearing Elton John sing that song one more time. I did enjoy that song, I have to say. That's what I'm saying. See, you're already leading me down a bad path. Here.
I know. Okay.
Okay. I don't have any sensitivity about royal family stuff. I don't understand the whole phenomenon. So.
Okay.
I'll just report it in the news. Okay. I don't want to make people unhappy.
Okay.
Don't wish anything bad on anyone. Well, I do wish bad on a lot of people. And I watched The Crown.
Which is so surprising.
Part of the reason was I wanted, since this has been around all my life, to try to understand what the fascination is, mm-hmm. right? And I watched the whole series, all six seasons.
Yeah.
Because it was a good show. Yeah. At the end of it, I still didn't understand why everybody cared. I kind of watched it almost like as fiction, right? It's just a good story.
People are just interested in that kind of, it's a fantasy. You have a queen and you have the king and you have the princess and the princes and all the money and the clothes and the jewelry and the crown jewels.
Yeah, they got Birkin bags, those girls.
Oh, I'm sure they, yeah that's nothing. $50,000 for a bag. I mean, come on.
You know, I was a realistic young child. I never got much into fantasy. Mm. Very hard-headed.
No, not you. Wow, we did not know that.
Yes, you would not want to be my parents. All right, more coming up.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. Then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand on the iHeart app. Got two rounds of the Moist Line coming up after 2 o'clock. And if you have any interest in the Kate Middleton story, you can talk to Deborah. I'll give you Deborah's cell phone number.
No,
and
that's
she'll
quite
talk
all right.
about it all afternoon. You know what we got going to talk about after 2 o'clock? Donald Trump may have made $3 billion today. You know, one thing about once you get wealthy, it's almost impossible not to add enormous amounts to your wealth. And there's a lot of tricks. Now, I'm not entirely sure how this worked, and we're going to have Dave Packer on from ABC News to help explain it. I listen to a lot of business news, fascinated by it and the stock market and all that. And I understand all the basics. But this is about Trump taking his Truth Social media website and the company that owns it. Now, Truth Social does not have a lot of action. It does not have much revenue, and it doesn't have that many users, right? Most people who care about that stuff are still on Twitter, X, the Elon Musk thing. But, you know, he has it, and he uses it to make his pronouncements. And he merged it with another company I'd never heard of. And somehow, magically, it turned into him owning $3 billion worth of the shares of this new company. And I don't know exactly how that's done. Now, he can't access it for 6 months. And, you know, he supposedly needs the money within a few days to put up a bond for that absurd lawsuit in New York. But I wondered, you know, if he could borrow against it, for example, and use that as collateral. I don't know. We're going to talk with Dave Packer. But that he could invent $3 billion out of thin air and not contributing much of real value, that's something else. We'll do that at 2 o'clock. All right, so Shohei Ohtani. Yesterday, Every time there was a Shohei Ohtani story from one outlet or another, the story was somewhat contradictory to the one previous and also added more weird details. And I'm not going to get into all those details. If you care, you've probably heard or read about it all by now. What I was wondering today, whether, because Ohtani is now part of the investigation. It was a federal investigation, and it was centered on this bookie, this character, Matthew Bowyer, out of Orange County. And that's who Ohtani's interpreter, Mizuhara, was, Ipe Mizuhara was making bets with. And then, as you heard, there were these wire transfers of $500,000 apiece that went magically from Ohtani's account and was sent to Bowyer. And Ohtani's official statement through the lawyer is, I didn't know anything about it. And nobody believes that. So if he knew anything about it, what would be his culpability? Let's assume he was not placing the bets, but it was the interpreter, Mizuhara. Well, his culpability would be that he provided money. According to Nelson Rose, a gambling law scholar, and a professor emeritus at Whittier College. Not related to Pete Rose, I assume. Nelson Rose said, if Ohtani paid the debt knowing it was for illegal gambling, there's the potential for fairly serious federal penalties. Because there's a federal law that says if you help an illegal gambling operator collect debts, then you're in the business of gambling. Even if he was only helping a friend, he certainly knew he was helping the bookmaker collect the debt. Now, there's something to keep in mind if you loan money to your deadbeat friend who's owes the bookie. So that would make him liable. And then in the New York Post, and this just came over a little bit ago, a former federal prosecutor is quoted as saying that what Ohtani did could fall under the umbrella of money laundering if Ohtani just approved the wire transfers to cover Mizuhara's $4.5 million debt. So even if Mizuhara had access to Ohtani's account or Ohtani's information and filled out the paperwork, or if Ohtani was aware of this in any way, then he's part of a money laundering scam. Of course, Ohtani's lawyers are claiming that he was the victim of massive theft, which I don't know what their definition of theft is, but if you have a bank account worth $4.5 million, how do you not notice all those deductions? You could go on your phone, you could call up an app and find out exactly how much you have 24 hours a day. You certainly get a statement mailed to you, or at least your people. Somebody in the chain of command should have noticed $4.5 million was missing, that these $500,000 wire transfers were being deducted. Now, ESPN saw two of them for $500,000 each, but that leaves another $3.5 million that had to be transmitted in some way to Bowyer's office. According to Joshua Naftalis, this could get Ohtani into the world of money laundering, which is a federal crime. And initially, remember the initial story was, and this was volunteered by Mizuhara, he volunteered to be interviewed by ESPN, and Ohtani's people arranged the interview. And did they not understand what he was saying? Because Mizuhara is making it sound like, oh, my good friend Shohei helped me out during a tough time. And then I guess somebody woke up in the Ohtani camp and said, wait, no, he's implicating Ohtani in money laundering and involved in a gambling operation. No. And so suddenly, abruptly, they changed the story. This was after a 90-minute interview was already taped, and ESPN was out to publish a print version. And suddenly Mizuhara completely changed the story. It's just not credible. And I don't know what got lost in translation, but literally, didn't they not know that him giving that interview was going to implicate Ohtani in federal crimes? Because ESPN said they saw bank information, including Ohtani's name, on a pair of $500,000 payments, and it was sent relatively recently in September and October. Because California, well, there's 38 states that allow sports gambling. But for some reason, California is prudish about it. I saw a line that says voters have not been in favor of this. Although I remember there being two propositions on the ballot, and the Indian casinos financed one of them, and they really confused the issue and made it sound like sports gambling in California would be so horrible and terrible. And of course, most people have no idea what's going on when they vote. They pay no attention at all. And they got suitably confused, and somehow we're one of only 12 states that doesn't allow sports gambling. And considering all the stuff we do allow, that's really hysterical, isn't it? I mean, you can go take a crap in the middle of the street. That's okay, but gambling on a football game, oh, we can't have that. That degrades society. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
On a clip involving Ohtani, I wanted to play. Tisha Thompson is the investigative reporter for CNN, for ESPN rather, who has been breaking a lot of the news on Shohei Ohtani and the gambling. And I'm most interested in the wire transfer from the bank. And I mentioned before that in the story, they had seen two of them for $500,000 each. And the total amount sent to the bookie in Orange County was $4.5 million. So what about the rest of the money? Well, listen to this clip because, yeah, there were quite a number of wire transfers. So roll cut number 7, if you would.
So what we've been told is that there were a series of wire transfers. ESPN has seen two of them totaling $1 million. We have confirmed with multiple sources who have knowledge of what's going on, including from Mitsuhara himself, that it is more than that. That it is 8 to 9 wire transfers is what Mitsuhara told me in that 90-minute interview. As soon as we got the statement alleging massive theft, I, of course, and our folks in the ESPN investigative unit started calling a lot of people, and including I call Mitsuhara. And I said, did you lie to me during that interview? And he says, yes. And through a series of questions that I then ask him, he says Ohtani never knew about the gaming debts and that Ohtani didn't make the payments. The big question, Stephen A., is how did those payments get made?
It's impossible for me to believe that a guy would have his bank account drained of $4.5 million and maybe 9 different wire transfer payments, and he didn't know, and all the people he pays to know those things didn't know. I just flat out don't believe that. I mean, that's astonishing. I mean, I know he's been paid a lot of money, but $4.5 million is still a huge. And by the way, you know, you get those contracts. You sign for $100 million. You're getting a fraction of that because 50% of it, especially in California, is going to taxes. So now you're down to $50 million, and then you got to give 10% to your agent. So now you're down another $10 million. So now you're down to $40 million over the life of the contract, minus all the other people that you employ. And I mean, it's still plenty of money, but it's not quite as staggering as it sounds. And now I know, I have a feeling when Ohtani signed that Dodger contract, the reason all the money is deferred, much of it's deferred, is he's going to be in Japan by the time they send him that check. And maybe the Japanese tax laws are more favorable than the communist regime that we have here. But that's unbelievable. Here's Tisha Thompson here's another clip where she explains how Ohtani had to go to another interpreter in the clubhouse when Mizuhara started speaking about the gambling situation. Apparently, Ohtani didn't really understand what was going on. So play clip cut number 6.
So Ohtani, who has, he's not fluent in English. Everyone says that. But he has enough understanding of English, according to the sources we talked to yesterday, to start to say, what? And he goes, after the meeting's over, he starts to ask questions. They get a different interpreter. And through that different interpreter, this is what these sources close to Ohtani, who were privy to what happened, told ESPN that that's when he found out about the money missing in his account.
So if you're saying that he found out about the
obviously,
money
obviously, the story changes.
Yes, it would indicate he didn't know what was going on. Sure, based on that reaction, but what kind of financial people does he have? That is frightening that people could take $4.5 million from you. That's just unbelievable. There's also a story about who Matthew Bauer is. Channel 4 did something. He's in San Juan Capistrano. 48 years old, and his house was raided. Search warrant. They took his computers, his phones, other electronic devices, and told him he was the target of a federal investigation. So the interpreter is being investigated. Matthew Bauer and Ohtani is, and they're all part of the investigation. And who knows what they're going to find. There's never been a case that I've seen when a story comes out where it constantly changes, where it's all muddled up, where people start tap dancing and spinning and BSing, that it always turns out being worse than even the original headline is. There's a reason everybody's acting squirrely. It's not hard to hold a press conference and just tell the truth. Just say what really is happening. Unless you're afraid that you're going to end up in prison by telling the truth. So Otani's representatives, if it was a clean story and he's completely innocent, then it's really easy to hold a press conference and say, hey, here's what happened. And I'll answer any question because nothing I say can get me into trouble. All right, when we come back, how did Donald Trump, now you know he needs 500 and, what is it? No, it's $450 million, right, to pay that bond to fight that ridiculous financial case in New York. Suddenly today, he makes $3 billion on some sort of strange merger public stock offering involving Truth Social, his social media company. How'd that happen? More coming up.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.